Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open up our shiur at the top of Nun Tes in Maseches Sanhedrin, we encounter a geometric form. This form, the crown form, if you will, is a series marker, as are all the geometric forms in our marking system. This started on the previous summit at the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Beis, where we indicated in our Mivneh introduction at that point that we were dealing with things, activities, that if an akum, if a idol worshipper does it, he would be chayev misa. We are at the second example, and we begin the Gemara with the nosei, the topic heading that you find in the outside margin. Akum ha'oisek batura. The issue here is concerns an idol worshipper who engages in the study of Torah. The Gemara will point out that it is a serious offense, and he would be chayav misa, guilty of death, if he engages in Torah study. The Gemara will cite the reason for that is based on a pasuk. The Gemara, in addition, will ask, why is it not counted, then, if it is such an offense, why is it not counted in the list of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? The Gemara, inside now, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, third line from the top, Oved Kochavim Ha'oisek B'Toro Chayav Misa. An idol worshipper who engages in the study of Torah is culpable of death. Shenamar, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morosha. And this pasuk is explained, Lanu Morosha Velo Lohem. It is our heritage and not theirs. It is the heritage of the Jews and not of the idol worshippers. The Gemara asks, Velech Shiva Gabi Sheva Mitzvah. So why is it not considered in the list of 7 mitzvahs? So the Gemara answers, in fact, it is included in the list as follows. Answer 1, you notice we use a double underline here, one of our series markers. In the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we have a double underline featured. Tshuvos answers la she'ela to the question, Lomo Isur Akum Be'esek HaTorah, why is the prohibition of an idol worshipper in the study of Torah Eino Nechshav Bein Sheva Mitzvosov? Why is it not considered as one of the 7 Noahide laws? So the Gemara answers, Man di Omar Morosha, one who reads the pasuk as it is, Morosha referring to an heritage, that which is associated with an inheritance. It would therefore be appropriate to categorize the Torah as the inheritance of the Jews. Hence, if the idol worshipper engages in its study, it is as if he is stealing it. He is taking away their inheritance. Migzal ka gozila. He is stealing it. And gezel is one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Man de Omar Morosha, one who reads the word Morosha as if it meant Morosha, the woman who is betrothed. In other words, that the Torah is considered the betrothed one of Klal Yisrael. Hence, if someone else, a foreigner, comes and takes her away, so to speak, Dino Kenaro Hamu'urasa Debeskila. So, the one who engages in the Torah study is if he's taking away our betrothed one, and the penalty for intimacy with a Naro Hamu'urasa is stoning. And as such, it's already included in the general realm of arayis, which the Bnei Noach are commanded in. The Gemara asks a question, and the length of the question is indicated by the long question marking you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, the encircled kuf with the dashed vertical line. Meisvei, we see a Tanaic source, and it describes an idol worshiper who's engaged in the study of Torah, and it says something rather praiseworthy of that. Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer. In the marking system, you of course can recall from the introduction that Tanaic sources are found in frames. Rabbi Meir used to say, Minayin Shafilu Ovik Yechovim V'Oisik B'Torah. From where do you know that even an idol worshiper, but he is engaged in the study of Torah, Shehu Kekohen Gadol, that he is considered as if he were a high priest, a very praiseworthy category. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Asher Yasa Oisam Ha'adam V'chai Bohem. Referring to the fulfillment of mitzvahs, it says that the one who fulfills them, the human being who fulfills them and lives by them, the Pasuk uses the word Ha'adam. Kohanim Levim V'Yisraelim Lo Ne'amar Elo Ha'adam. The fact that the Pasuk does not refer to the different subsections of Israel, but rather uses the more general human expression Ha'adam, this teaches us, even an idol worshiper, but if he's engaged in Torah study, he is considered as if he were the high priest. So, how does this figure in light of what we said above, that the idol worshiper who studies Torah is subject to death? The Gemara answers, Hosam, this source in which you find the idol worshiper's study of Torah praiseworthy, b'sheva mitzvos didhu. That's when he is engaged in the study of the seven mitzvahs that he is obligated to keep. Rabbi Chanino ben Gamliel Omer, af hadom min hachai. In our topic heading, we note the nose, da minachai, the issue of blood taken from an animal while it is still alive. And the use of that blood, the consumption of that blood, is chayav misa. So the nose, topic heading, says da minachai, machlikas rabbonon v'Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. This issue, is this also one of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach? Not only a limb taken from a living animal, which is, of course, prohibited, but what about the blood taken from it? So this is a machlokes. Rak l'Rabbi Chanina yesh isur shel min hachai. It is only according to Rabbi Chanina that there is a prohibition concerning the blood extracted from a living animal. The shayach gam al dam, that the concept of min hachai is appropriate, or it can be applied to the blood as well. Masha'enkein l'fi rabbonon, as opposed to the rabbonon who hold that the prohibition of min hachai, the prohibition of taking from a living animal, is limited to limbs. The Gemara proceeds. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, af hadam min hachai. Tonu rabbonon, we have a Tanaic source. The source opens up with a pasuk, Ach bosor b'nafshoi domoi loy soichelu. The word b'nafsho means that while the nefesh, while the life is still in the animal, one shall not take from it. The first opinion says, Zeh eiver menachai. This refers to a limb taken from a living animal. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Af hadam menachai. He expands the prohibition to include the blood as well. My time of the Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, what is the basis of his opinion? Kori Bey, he reads the pasuk as follows. Bosor benafsho lo socheil, domoi benafsho lo socheil. He reads the pasuk as alluding to both bosor and dam. Not to eat when they are coming benafsho, when they are coming from a live animal. The rabbonon who do not include dam in the prohibition, hahu, the word domoi has another use. Lemishri shrotzim hu da'asa. It comes to exempt from the prohibition of eiver minachai shrotzim. Shratzim are a category of animals that are, we can refer to them as squat-legged creatures that whose body is close to the ground. Creatures like mice and other related critters that are like that. Kayotze badavor ata omer. The Rashi points out that this is Rabbi Hanina speaking, so to speak. This would be a comment that we're going to now is in the spirit of Rabbi Hanina, that Yisrael also, that Jews are as well, are warned against the consumption of dam min hachai. In other words, that dam min hachai is besides the problem of it being dam, it has an additional problem of being min hachai, taken from that which is living. Kayotze bedover ata omer, rak chazak levilti achol hadam, ki hadam hu hanefesh. The Rabbonon, when they look at this pasuk, they learn something different from it, and they say, "Ahu l'dam hakozo shaneshama yotze boy hu da'asa." The Rabbonon say that this pasuk limits the isur, the prohibition of dam, to that dam which exits the body while the life of the creature is leaving it. In other words, when an animal is, let us say, when it's slaughtered, there's a rush of dam that exits the body. Only part of that dam, and this is, of course, a more elaborate discussion in Maseches Krisus, but only part of that dam is considered what's known as dam hanefesh, the dam that exits, at which point the life of the creature is said to leave it. We can refer to that in a brief term by simply saying the lifeblood. And therefore, according to the Rabbonan, only the lifeblood is that which carries with it the highest offense of dam, which is chayev in kores. Other forms of dam are not chayev kores. The Gemara goes on. Loma li lemichtav levnei Noach, the loma li lemishne b'sinai. Why is it necessary to write the prohibition of Eiver min hachai to Bnei Noach, and then to repeat it at Sinai? The Rashi points out here, Loma li lemichtav, Eiver min hachai b'sinai u'b'Bnei Noach. Otu Yisrael mishum dekiblu Torah yotzu miklal mitzvos rishonos. Just because the Jews received the Torah, would one have thought that they lose the obligation to keep their original mitzvahs? Bishlamo avodas kechovim begivah arayas b'sinai. I understand that idol worship and immorality had to be mentioned at Sinai, at the giving of the Torah, even though they were commanded in those things previously. L'milsaihu nishneis. They were repeated for specific details that were given at Sinai. L'fishalo pirshu kol kach b'vnei Noach al elu averos ne'noshim aleihem. Because when they were given initially the issues of idol worship and immorality, when they were given initially to b'nei Noach, they weren't given in a very specific or detailed fashion. V'chein b'arayas l'farish onshon, and likewise with arayas, to delineate the different penalties. Elo eiver menachai lo moli laduri, but eiver menachai, which is a much more solitary or singular type offense, without the all the details that are characteristic of the other mitzvahs like avodah zarah and akilah arayas. Why was it necessary to repeat eiver menachai? Before we go further in the Gemara, let us note our topic heading. Kol mitzvah shenemro levnei Noach. All the mitzvahs that were said to Bnei Noach. Category 1 is v'nishneis b'sinai, those that were repeated at Sinai. And category 2, v'lo nishneis b'sinai. There was something that was said to Bnei Noach, but not repeated at Sinai. What is the significance of this difference? The Gemara explains. Ki Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, the Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, kol mitzvah shenemro. Number 1, Livnei Noach, Venishneis Besinai, Loze Veloze Nemro. If it was stated to the Bnei Noach, and repeated at Sinai, this indicates that it applies to both B'nai Noach and to the Jewish people as well. Category 2, Livnei Noach v'lo Nishneis b'Sinai, if it was stated to the B'nai Noach and not repeated at Sinai, then LiYisrael Namra v'loi Livnei Noach, then it is a mitzvah that only the Jews have to keep and not needed to be kept by the B'nai Noach. The Anu Ein Lanu Elo Gid HaNoshev Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, and we have as a singular example of that which was stated before Sinai and not repeated at Sinai, the prohibition of Gid HaNoshe, and only if you understand the mitzvah of Gid HaNoshe according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's a controversy concerning the presence of the mitzvah of Gid HaNoshe in the Torah, in Sefer Bereishis. The Torah describes after the angel of Esav wrestled with Yankiv, there is a pasuk that refers to the prohibition of eating the Gid HaNoshe. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the issur of eating Gid HaNoshe was stated then. In other words, it was taught to the B'nai Yankiv literally, and it wasn't repeated after the giving of the Torah. The Rabbanan, however, have a different take on that, and they say that the mitzvah was never really commanded to the family of Yankiv Avinu, but rather it was stated at Matan Torah, and when it was written in, the Torah was written in to the place from which the root of the prohibition arises. This you can see in the Rashi in the lower part of the page. He says, "Valiba de Rabbi Yehuda, diomar perek Gid HaNoshe." Rabbi Yehuda in Maseches Chulin, in that particular perek that's called Gid HaNoshe, "Mibnei Yankiv Nesar Gid HaNoshe." It's from that time it was already prohibited. Shohayu B'nei Noach, the B'nei Yankiv, the family of Yankiv Avinu, were categorized as B'nei Noach Kodem Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah. V'Rabbonin Pligi, the Rabbonin disagree, V'yamru B'Sinai Ne'emar V'loi Lohem, that it was stated initially at Sinai and it wasn't told to them, Elo Shenichta B'mkoimoi, but rather, and it was simply written in its in that place in Sefer Bereishis, V'Acha Matan Torah Kosvu Moshe B'mokom HaMaisa La'osid. After Matan Torah, Moshe recorded the prohibition of Gid HaNoshe at the place that it was, that at the place in the story in which the Gid HaNoshe is referred to, Al HaOsid, on account of that which would take place in the future. In other words, as a result of the wrestling with the angel, the Gid HaNoshe in the future will be prohibited, in future meaning from the point of the giving of the Torah. Leida Me'ezatam Ne'asar Lahem, it was recorded in the earlier position in the Sefer Bereishis to know eventually why it was prohibited in the future. Continuing back, we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Mar, Kol Mitzvah Shenemro Livnei Noach V'Nishneis B'Sinai Lozeh V'Lozeh Nemro. We use a note, Roman numeral number 1 in parentheses as an indicator that this is a reference to the number 1 a few lines up. The Omar Mar, of course, is an expression introducing a quote from that which was mentioned earlier. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina mentioned that those mitzvahs that were stated to the B'nai Noach and repeated at Sinai are binding upon B'nai Noach and Yisrael. The Gemara asks, Ad Rabbah, Mide Nishneis B'Sinai, why not say to the contrary, from the fact that it was repeated at Sinai, Li Yisrael Nemro V'lo Livnei Noach, it was stated at Sinai for the purpose of excluding Livnei Noach. In other words, it was stated at Sinai to say, this mitzvah that had been mentioned earlier is now to be kept only by the Jews and not Livnei Noach. The Gemara answers, Mide Isni Avodis Kechavim B'Sinai, from the fact that we know that Avodah Zorah was repeated at Sinai, the prohibition of idol worship was prohibited at Sinai, and we also know and we know that the general heathen population receives punishments when they violate idolatry, Therefore, Shema Mino, Lozeh Velozeh, Nemra. It must be something that is binding upon all peoples, the idol worshipping, the heathen population, and the Jewish population as well. Number two, Livnei Noach velo nishneis b'Sinai, those mitzvahs that were told to the Bnei Noach and not repeated at Sinai, li Yisrael nemra v'loy livnei Noach. They apply, according to Rabbi Yossi, that we saw above, apply only to the Jews and not to Bnei Noach. The Gemara asks, Adarabba, midolo nishneis b'Sinai, from the fact that it was not repeated at Sinai, it indicates livnei Noach nemra v'loy Yisrael, that it should apply only to the Bnei Noach and not to Yisrael. The Gemara to this answers, Leko Meidam, there is nothing, Meidam meaning nothing, there is nothing, the Yisrael Shori, Ula'oivei Kechovim Osir, that would be permissible to the Jews and prohibited to the Gentile population. And therefore, if something was prohibited to the heathen population, it would also be prohibited to the Jewish people. The Gemara asks, "Velo, is that really so?" Vahare yifas toar. We are employing here triangles as another one of our series indicators, and on the outside margin we see a nose mivneh, a topic heading, together with the structural note. These triangles represent kushios, questions al haklal, on the principle, the ein dover shemutr li Yisrael v'osur livnei Noach, that there is supposedly nothing that is allowed or permissible to the Jews and prohibited to the Bnei Noach. The Gemara asks, but we find things that are like that. V'hare yifas toar. The Torah has an allowance for a Jew in the course of battle to take the wife of the enemy, a wife of a man in the enemy, to take her for himself. And this, we saw in a previous sugya, is not allowed on the part of Bnei Noach. The Gemara answers, Hossam, the fact that Bnei Noach are not allowed to do it, it's not because there is a leniency for the Jewish people, but rather, Mishum Delav Bnei Kibush Ninhu. The phenomenon of taking a yifas toar, of the beautiful woman, even if she's married, is a function of someone who is categorized as a ben kibush, someone who has license to conquer. So if you have license to conquer, so there is an allowance for the yifas toar. But someone who does not have a license to conquer, they don't have any rights to the Bnei Noach. So let us just repeat the point. It's a rather fine point, but we are not saying that the Yafas Toar is a direct leniency for the Jews. It is the allowance of the Yafas Toar is an outgrowth of the fact that the Jews are Bnei Kibush, that they have license to conquer other lands. That license is not given to Bnei Noach. The Gemara asks, "V'harei pochos mishova pruta? What about the issue concerning theft of less than a shova pruta?" In a previous sukkah, we mentioned that the shova pruta is a very small type of currency, very small coin. And the halacha that we have seen is that a Ben Noach is chayav on Gezel of Pochos Mishova Pruta. He's guilty of theft even if he steals something that's less than a Shova Pruta in value. And we were of the understanding that a Jew is not guilty. So the Gemara answers, Hossam, in the case of Pochos Mishova Pruta, Mishum Delav Bnei Mechilo Ninhu. Let us look at Rashi. Mishum Delav Bnei Mechilo Ninhu. She'af Yisrael nitztavu al hagezel. It is a fact that Jews were also commanded to refrain from theft. There is no difference in the basic application of the law between Jews and Bnei Noach. All are forbidden in theft. Elo shepochus mishofer pruta eino nechshav gezel bi'einehem. It is just that in the case of Jews, a pochus mishofer pruta is not viewed in their eyes as theft. And why is that? She'oivrin al midasan, because they overcome their basic nature. She'rachmonim heim, because of the mercifulness that characterizes B'nai Yisrael. U'mochalin adavar kal. And even though the pochas mishavar pruta also is theft, but nevertheless they are forgiving of that. Avo b'nai Noach achzorim heim, but the b'nai Noach are not rachmonim, they are achzorim, they're not merciful, and as a result of their lack of mercifulness, when they when there is a pochas mishavar pruta stolen from them, they are not forgiving, and hence it falls into the basic restriction of gezel. The Gemara continues with a quote from that which was mentioned earlier. In order to help you find it, you can even use the little asterisk provided in the margin of the margin, meaning in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Kol mitzvah shenemra livnei Noach v'nishneis b'sinai lozeh v'lozeh nemra. This was a point mentioned above by Rabbi Yosef Chamina. All those mitzvahs that were stated to the Bnei Noach and repeated at Sinai apply to Jews and Bnei Noach equally. At this point, as we turn to Amud Beis, we'll notice the triangles appearing in two directions. Let us discover what their role is by looking at the Mivneh heading in the outside margin. We have a Mivneh, a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the flow of the Gemara in a play-by-play fashion. The triangle with the tip pointing up are Kushos al HaKlal Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. We will be asking questions on the principle that he, on the rule that he presented. The Ma Shinema Vnei Noach Vnishneis Vesinai. He said that that which was stated to Bnei Noach and repeated at Sinai, Lozev, Lozev, Nemar, apply to both. And as we said, the triangle pointing up will be a question on that. And then we will see the inverted triangle represents tshuvos, answers. In other words, we will be defending his principle. We turn to the Gemara at the top of Nun Tes Amud Beis, Vaharei Mila. Take, for example, the mitzvah of circumcision. Shenemro Levnei Noach, it was stated to the Bnei Noach, Dichtiv, it says in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Yud Zayin, it says, Es Brisi Tishmor, V'ato Es Brisi Tishmor, a reference to a commandment to Avram Avinu, who was a Ben Noach, that you shall keep the mitzvah of the bris. The Nishneis B'Sinai, and it was repeated at Sinai in Vayikra Perek Yud Beis, Uvayom Hashmini Yimol, the word Yimol, bris mila. And yet we know about bris mila, Yisrael Namra V'lo Levnei Noach. It's a mitzvah that only Jews keep. It's not a mitzvah that is expected to be kept by the Bnei Noach. So how do we deal with the kasha from mitzvahs mila on the principle of Rabbi Yossi? So to answer this, we have two answers. We're going to use Roman numerals to indicate the two answers on the kasha, on the question posed from mila. Number one is here, and if you look in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, further down, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2. At that point, the Gemara will say, Ebois, Emo, Mila, etc. Be an alternative answer, and that's what the Ebois, Emo expression shows, an alternative answer to the question that came from the issue of Bris Mila. Turning back to the Gemara, why is it that Mila applies only to the Jews when in fact it was one of those that was stated before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah, and at the giving of the Torah? The Gemara answers, Hahu, the posuk that you thought was a command to perform the mitzvah of Mila at Matan, given at Matan Torah, that's not the role of that posuk. Rather, Lemishri Shabbos Huda'asa. It is coming to teach that Bris Mila is to be performed even on Shabbos, even though the Bris Mila itself is an act of malacha, which is generally speaking prohibited to do on Shabbos. Nevertheless, since we have a pasuk which we read before, Bayom Hashmini Mol, and the Gemara goes on to say Bayom, that word Bayom teaches me Vafilu B'Shabbos. Hence, Bris Milah is not an example of something that was taught before Matan Torah and repeated at Matan Torah. It remains a mitzvah that was taught only before Matan Torah, and hence it applies, as we saw earlier, only to the Jews. The Gemara asks, "Vahre Piriyah V'Ribya, the mitzvah of procreation, Shenemro L'Vnei Noach, it was stated very early on, it was stated to the Bnei Noach, Dichtiv Avi Atem Pru Uravu, that you shall multiply, V'Nishneis B'Sinai, and it was stated again at Sinai in Sefer Dvorim, you have Perek Hei, Lech Emor Lohem Shuvu Lochem Lo Lechem." That after Matan Torah, the Jewish people were told, go back to your tents, literally. It means go back to be with your wives for procreation. And we know, L'Yisrael Nemro V'lo L'Vnei Noach. We know that Pru Revu is not one of the mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So, once again, we have a question on the rule that Rabbi Yossi stated. The Gemara answers, the second pasuk, the pasuk that was allegedly a second command at Matan Torah, was not in fact not a second command to perform the mitzvah of procreation, but rather it had a special, that particular pasuk had a special role. Hahu, that pasuk that we cited from Devarim Perek Hei, was to teach the following, to illustrate the following principle. L'chol dover shebeminyan, any ruling that is issued by a court, that there is a vote upon it, and the court decides whatever it decides, let us say it decides to prohibit something, in order to undo that prohibition, sarach minyan achir lahatiro hu da'asa. It comes, that posik, hu da'asa means that posik comes to teach me that when something is prohibited by the court by virtue of a vote taken on an issue, there has to be a minyan achir, a second vote on the matter in order to allow it. So as applies to the issue of procreation, when the Torah was given, there was a specific ruling that the Jewish people, that the men shall separate from their wives in anticipation of the receipt of the Torah. And even though it was stated that they shall separate themselves from their wives for a period of 3 days, even though when the 3 days lapse, there nevertheless has to be another specific order for them to return to their wives. This idea of a specific order, even though it might have been self-understood by the virtue of the fact that the prohibition initially was stated only for 3 days, this is the principle we just mentioned, that those things that are voted upon by the court to prohibit need a specific instruction to undo it, and not rely on the implicit understanding of it being of it terminating on its own. The Gemara asks, "Ihachi, if so, that we are explaining each one of these mitzvahs. We did Milah and we did Piriyah V'Ribyah. We explained that the repetition of them was not for the sake of simply repeating the commandment, but for the sake of details. Then kol chado v'chado nami, nemo mishum milsa isni. Then each one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach that were repeated at Sinai, and we said that if they're repeated, it is repeated in order to bind the Bnei Noach, but we can find a specific reason for each one of those being repeated. And if you find a specific reason for each one of those being repeated, then we will come out saying that they apply only to Yisrael and not to Bnei Noach. The Gemara answers, Hochi ko'omar. Azhora mihader umisna ba lomali. The repetition of the other mitzvahs If it was for the purpose of mere detail, so it would have sufficed to repeat that specific detail. Why is it that the basic prohibition is repeated again? So from the fact that the basic prohibition was repeated again, this is what shows us that those mitzvahs apply to B'nai Noach and to Yisrael. We continue in the Gemara with a quote from what we saw on Amud Aleph. The Gemara Amud Aleph mentioned, and if you want to use the arrow you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you'll be able to find a parallel arrow on Amud Aleph, indicating from where this particular quote comes. The Gemara had said that as far as mitzvahs that were cited to B'nai Noach and not repeated at Sinai, and we said they apply only to the Jews, we find only one example, and that's what the Gemara says here. V'ein lanu elo gid hanosha bilvad v'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. We have only the issue of the gid hanosha, which is the eating of a certain nerve that's found in the hind leg or legs of kosher animals. That iser of gid hanosha was the only example of something stated before Sinai and not repeated, and that's provided you learn the posuk according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Isser was stated to B'nai Yankiv. The Gemara asks, Hani Nami Lo Isni, Mila and Puravu, the subjects of our questions above, were also not repeated. Did we not say that Mila was in fact not repeated? And we had mentioned earlier that true, there was a pasuk that said Uviyom Hashmini Imo, but that was not for the purpose of commanding the mitzvah of Mila again. So Mila was stated, as far as we're concerned, only before Matan Torah. And we said the same thing with regard to Pru Uravu. So why does the Gemara say that the only example of a mitzvah stated in a solitary fashion is Gid Hanosha? Can it not be said the same thing about Mila and Pru Uravu? The Gemara answers, Hani, Mila and Pru Uravu, Isni, they were repeated for some reason. It might have been a detail. In the case of Mila, we said it was repeated for the sake of telling me it's Mutar on Shabbos. And by Puravu, we said that its repetition was for the sake of teaching the principle of Dover Shebeminyan Sarach Minyan Achila Atiro. However, there was some form of repetition. Ha, the case of Gid Hanoshe Loi Isni Klal. It was not repeated at all. And that's what the Gemara meant when it said we have only Gid Hanoshe alone as an example of that which was stated before Sinai and not repeated at all at Matan Torah. As we indicated before, the Eboyas Emo is not a flow of from that which was just stated, but rather a throwback to Mila. Hence, we use a semicolon to indicate a slight pause in the reading. We also have our Roman numeral number 2 to draw your attention to the fact this is a throwback to where you saw a 1. So, Eboyas Emo, Mila, as far as the mitzvah of Mila is concerned, it was not a mitzvah that was ever said to B'nai Noach in general. So that Mila does not even as a Havamina, doesn't even, the issue of Mila does not even start as a question. When we thought originally that Mila was stated to the B'nai Noach and we thought it may have been repeated at Sinai, according to the Eboy Seima, Mila was never stated, was never commanded to the B'nai Noach in the first place. The Gemara says, "V'boisema mila meikora liAvram who deka mizar leRachmana." The mitzvah of mila was said specifically to Avram and not to the general human population, the general B'nai Noach population. The pasuk says, "V'ato es brisi tishmor ato v'zaracho acharecha ledoyroisam." Atov zaracha in, you and your seed, yes, are commanded in Mila, inish achrino loy, but the rest of humanity, no, they're not commanded in Mila. The Gemara now is going to inquire, and we have a topic heading in the outside margin, no say, birur, clarification. Mi nichlal b'chiyuv mi lachutz mi Yisrael. Who is possibly included in the obligation of circumcision outside of the Jewish people? So the Gemara says, if the Pasuk is telling, if we're telling you now, based on this Pasuk, that Avram Avinu alone was commanded, he and his seed and his children after him, Elameato b'nei Yishmael l'chayvo, let the children of Yishmael be chayav till this very day. So the Gemara answers, when the Pasuk said that, the line just above where the dashed underline appears, Ato, it says Vizaracho, the Zaracho does not include all of Avraham Avinu's seed. Rather, Ki b'Yitzchok yikore l'cho Zorah. Yitzchok, through Yitzchok, is your continuity to be fulfilled. Namely, through Yitzchok is the fulfillment of your Zera, thereby excluding Yishmael. The Gemara asks, well, if you're saying that the fulfillment of Zera is through Yitzchok, and we mentioned that Zera are commanded in Mila, are commanded in this mitzvah of circumcision, B'nei Esav l'chaivu, let the children of Esav be bound, because Esav also comes from Yitzchok. The Gemara answers, B'Yitzchok, that means from within Yitzchok, v'lo kol Yitzchok, but not all of Yitzchok. The Beis being a limitation letter. Maskiflor of Oshaya, Elameato, if you're going to darshan the word Be Yitzchok and tell us that through Yitzchok is the fulfillment of the Zera, and that itself is limiting to part of Yitzchok, so B'nei Keturah lo l'chaivu. Let it be that the children of Keturah, Keturah was a woman that Avram Avinu married after Yitzchak married Rivka. But since you're saying that Zerah is fulfilled through Yitzchak and only part of Yitzchak, so it should be that the B'nai Keturah should not be obligated to do the Bris Milah. Rashi clarifies this question, and we find the Rashi where we see the double asterisk in the Rashi. B'nei Keturah oison shisha shenoldu lavram hein atzmon lo l'chaivu. The six children that were born to Avram through Keturah should not be bound to have been circumcised. V'nei mohashto, and say as follows: the lo mol Avram kol bonov shehoyu lo b'chayov. And Avram did not need to circumcise all of the children that he bore in his lifetime. So the Gemara answers, we do know that Avram circumcised the children that he himself bore during his lifetime. How do you explain that in light of what we said a moment before, that ki b'Yitzchok yikara l'chzora? The Gemara answers, ha ama Rav Yosi bar Oven, v'tema Rav Yosi bar Chanina. Rav Yosi bar Oven, or another version, that's itema indicates another version, Rav Yosi bar Chanina says, es brisi hafer, that posuk is also found in the context of Avraham Avinu, perek yud zayin posuk yud dalid. It says, es brisi hafer, La Rabois B'nei Keturah, to include the six B'nei Keturah to be circumcised as well. Rashi says, La Rabois B'nei Keturah Oisam Shisha Livadom V'loi Zar'om. Those six that were born in Avram Avinu's lifetime, but not their descendants. Aval Avram Nitztave L'chol Hanolodim K'leil Oisam Shisha B'nei Keturah. Avram Avinu himself, though, was commanded to circumcise all those that were born to him specifically, but not their descendants. The issue of descendants being commanded applies only to the descendants of Yitzchak as came forth from Yankov, which, practically speaking, means only the Jewish people are commanded in this mitzvah. As you can see in our markings, we have a slash mark. This indicates that the following Gemara is a new thought. The topic heading we have assigned for this, the Nosei, Bosor Be'achila, the heter of consuming, the permission to consume meat. Number one, La'odom Harishon, and number two, Livnei Noyach. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Odom Harishon, Loi Huter Loi Bosor La'achila. The flesh of animals was not permitted to him to be consumed. Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, and in our marked Gemaras, we've added in between the lines the lead in to what the Gemara itself quotes, so we will read that. Vayomer Elokim, Hine Nosati Lochem, Eskol Esev, etc. Lochem Ye Lochla. Ulechol Chayas Haaretz. The Pasuk says that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving to you all of the grasses to eat. That is to you, to the people, and to the animals. The grasses are given to eat. So what is given over? Grasses are given over to people and to animals. And we infer from here, however, velo chayas haaretz lochem. But the chayas haaretz, they are not given to you to eat. So from this pasuk, we see that Odom Harishon, of course this pasuk we should emphasize was said to Odom Harishon. It's in Bereishis Perek Aleph Psukim Choftes and Lamed, and as a result we see that Odom Harishon was prohibited in eating meat. In our marking system we now encounter a bracketed section. The role of these brackets is explained in the inside margin, Acharei Hasograhim, after the bracketed section, which, by the way, the length of which is indicated by a length marker. It's a vertical dash dotted line, and you can see that to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So after the bracketed section, HaGemara Maksha, the Mehapsukim Mashma, where the Gemara will ask that from verses we find, or it is implied, the Hoya Heter Achilu B'Balei Chayim L'Odom HaRishon, that there was an allowance to Odom HaRishon to consume meat. So that if in the scheme of things you look in the Gemara text and you skip the bracketed section, you notice the word mesve appearing in a diamond. There, in fact, when you see a geometric form, you ought to scan ahead and see if you can find others, and you can see several of these diamonds as you go down the page. In the margin, under our mivneh heading, the diamond is featured, and we can read it. Kushyos al Rabbi Yehuda Marav Shomar Denesar Bosor Baalei Chayim LeOdom HaRishon. We will challenge what Rabbi Yehuda Marav said concerning Odom HaRishon, that he was prohibited in eating meat. And each diamond will represent a new question. And in the course of the Gemara, we will also notice double underlined words. Those are responses. So with all that having been said, when we turn to the bracketed section, within the brackets, the Gemara will mention that the meat became permissible to the Bnei Noach, to Noach and his descendants after the flood. Let us continue in the bracketed section directly. Ukshibo b'nei Noach, and when the b'nei Noach arrived, hitir lohem, the meat was made permissible to them. Shenemar, and once again, we've written in the lead-in to the pasuk that will be quoted by the Gemara, so we will read that as well. The Shenemar, kol remes asher hu chai, all creatures that are alive, ye lochem ye loochlo, unto you they will be allowed to be consumed. Kierik esev nosati lochem eskoil, like the grass of the fields, I have given to you everything. In other words, all creatures are now, after the flood, were given to be consumed to be eaten by Bnei Noach. Yochol lo yehe ever minachai noeg boy? Should we consider that maybe limbs from living animals are not is not applicable? Talmud lomar ach basar benafshoi damoi loy sochelu. From this pasuk, we see a limitation. The word ach is a limitation word, and we learn from this pasuk that you are not allowed to take the flesh from a living animal and eat that. Yochol af lishrotzim. Does this prohibition of aver min hachai, a limb from a living animal, apply also to those creatures that we categorize as shrotzim? Talmud lomar ach. The limitation word ach tells me that the isur, the prohibition of aver min hachai, does not apply to shrotzim. Umay Talmuda, how are we to know that shrotzim are excluded from Eiver Menachai? Maybe behemos are excluded from Eiver Menachai. So that's what this question means. Umay Talmuda, how do you see from the pasuk this particular exclusion? Amar Rav Huna, domoi. The pasuk uses the word domo, and in fact we dashed underline that at the end of the previous line. This word teaches me, mi shedomoi choluk mi besoro. The prohibition of Eiver Min Hachai applies to those creatures wherein they have a separate isur, a separate prohibition of dam, whereby in addition to the flesh being osur, the dam is osur on its own. Yotsu shrotzim. This is to the exclusion of shrotzim. She'ein domam choluk mibesorim. The blood of those creatures categorized as shrotzim do not have a separate category of prohibition. Namely, the dam of a sheretz is considered like the boser of a sheretz. For illustration purpose, if we say, let's say that rat meat is prohibited, the blood of a rat would have the same status as the flesh of the rat. This is as opposed to cows, let's say, that when we categorize, let us say you have a cow that was not slaughtered properly, so we would say that its meat is usser, and when it comes to its dam, we say the dam is a separate isser. In fact, when you're dealing with behemos, the flesh would be usur as a prohibition. The dam carries with it a more severe penalty, a penalty of kores. This distinction, though, is not the case when dealing with shrotzim. So we can say that in the case of shrotzim, domo is not a separate entity. And the pasuk, when dealing with Eiver Min Hachai, is featuring those kind of creatures whose dam is a separate entity. As we mentioned before, the diamonds here pose questions from Psukim on the principle that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said that Odom HaRishon was prohibited in eating meat, but we see something to the contrary. Mesvei, Uredu Bidgas Hayam. The pasuk continues to say, and we've written it in between the lines, Uba'oif Hashomayim Ubachol Chaya HaRomeses Al Oretz, that you shall have control over, you shall descend upon the fish of the sea and the birds and all creatures roaming the land. My love, la'achila. Are we not referring to control over them with regard to eating them as well? Umar says, no, loy. Limalacha, this pasuk simply means you have reign over them. That's with regard to enslaving the animals. The Gemara asks, if this pasuk is referring to enslaving the animals for work purposes, v'dogim b'nei malacha ninu, are fish considered capable of malacha, of doing work for man? The Gemara says, by all means, in, yes, kidarachba, as per Rachba's comment. The boy Rachba once asked a question. His question is in the realm of kilayim, the prohibition of, let us say, joining an ox and a donkey to draw a cart together. This is a prohibition in the realm of Kilayim. So Rachba asks, in that spirit, Hinhig be'iza v'shibuta, my, let us say a person attached a cart to a goat and to a fish, a shibuta, a fish. And of course, the scenario would be the cart is being drawn along the shore of the sea or on a river bank. So you'd have a fish in the water attached by a rope to a cart being drawn alongside the riverbank, and on the bank a goat attached to it. What is the din with regard to kilayim? Is there a prohibition in this? Whatever the case be, we see that a fish is capable of being harnessed for malacha. The Gemara asks another question. Toshma uba'oif hashamayim. That same pasuk, and that's what we had written in between the lines, that it's the pasuk said uredu v'digasayam uba'oif hashamayim. What does it mean to have rain over the birds? My lav lachila. Does that not mean that it is given to Adam Arishin for consumption? Lo. Lemalacha. The birds are given to the rain of man for work. The Gemara asks, "V'oifois b'nei malacha ninu? Could it be under? Can birds be harnessed for work?" So the Gemara answers, "In they can be." And this we see in the context of a question that Rabba once raised. Kideboy Rabba bar Rav Huna. His question. And we will not get into the details of the question because that's featured in Maseches Bava Metzia, but nevertheless, the realm of the question concerns the prohibition of muzzling up an animal while it is threshing grain. That, the Pasuk says, Lo sachsom, do not muzzle up shor bedisho, an ox while it's threshing grain. The animal is expected to be allowed to consume the produce that he's working on. So he asks a question, Dosh ba'avozim v'tarnagolim l'Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda mai. What would happen if a person threshes with these different types of fowls, avozim and tarnagolim? They're birds, according to Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. The purpose of bringing this into our Gemara is simply to show that there is a scenario whereby birds could be used for threshing, a form of malacha. Therefore, we don't have any raya from this section of the pasuk either that birds were given to Adam for consumption. Toshma, the same pasuk says that you have control over ubechol chaya horomesis al horetz. And Rashi points out, if we're not to talk about achila, it's clear that chayos, undomesticated animals, are not b'nei malacha. They're not capable of doing malacha. So we see from here that since Adam was given reign over chaya, the chayos, it must be he was allowed to eat their flesh. The Gemara says, no. Hahu, the pasuk that referred to chaya, is referring to chaya in the context of work, of malacha. And there is one chaya that in the time of Adam Harishon was capable of doing work, lasuye nochosh. It comes to include the nochosh creature. People often translate that as a serpent or a snake. For our purposes, we'll refer to it as the nochosh. You'll say, what is the connection between nochosh and malacha? The Gemara explains. Let's read this again. This is coming to include the nochosh, who the also. It is coming for that purpose. Desanya. The following Tanaic source will illustrate the nochosh in its capacity of fulfilling malacha. And this is a description of the nochosh before the sin of eating from the forbidden fruit. Brisa says, the sign of Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Chaval al Shamash Godol Sheova min Olam, woe unto us that lost the services of a great servant. Shil Mole Niskal el Nochosh, if the Nochosh would not have been cursed, Kol Echad ve'echad mi Yisrael, Hoyu Mizdamnin Loi, Shnei Nochoshim Toivim. Every Jew would have had possession of two fine nechoshim. Echad mishagru letzofim ve'echad mishagru ledorim. One he would have sent north and the other south. Lahovilo, sandalboinim toivim. These nechoshim would have brought from their respective destinations. They would have brought back to their Jewish owners sandalonim, that's a type of precious stone, v'avonim tovos, other precious stones, and margolios, another precious material, v'lo od, and not only that, el shemav shimin ritzua tachaz navo, we would have wound a strap or a rope under its tail, umotzi ba ofer leginasu lechurboso, and the nochash would have drawn dirt into his garden or into his ruin. In other words, we see the nochash would have been capable of doing different malachas. Meisvei, well, we raise another question, this time from a source, from a Tanaic source, as opposed to the previous questions, which were essentially from Psukim. The source says, Hoya Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Odom HaRishon, Mesev beGan Eden Hoya. Odom HaRishon was reclining in Gan Eden, the Hoyu Malachi Asher Tzun Lo Bosor, Mesanen Lo Yayin. And the service angels would roast for him meat, and we've dashed underlined, that's the main word, the main problem, and they would strain for him wine. Hitzitzbo Nochosh V'ro B'chvodo, the Nochosh glanced upon the royal treatment that Odom HaRishon was receiving and saw the honor he was receiving, v'niskanebo, and he felt a sense of jealousy. For our purposes, we see Odom HaRishon was eating meat. So the Gemara answers, and once again we see the double underline indicating the point at which the Gemara will answer this question. What says Hossam there in the source featuring Adam and Gan Eden eating meat, but Basar Hayuri Min Hashemayim, it's referring to heavenly flesh, that meat that came down from heaven. This was not that which was prohibited when the sugi opened up with Rabbi Yehuda Marav. He said that Adam was prohibited in eating meat. It meant he was prohibited in taking animals and slaughtering them for his own consumption. Here you're dealing with non-slaughtered meat, meat that came from heaven. The Gemara asks, "Mi ikra basar hayuri min shamayim?" Is there such a thing? The Gemara answers, "In." And we have a long answer accompanying this section of Gemaras. You can see the tuf, the teretz, the tuf is encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical dash line indicating the length of this answer. The Gemara says, "In, yes, there is Basar Hayuri Min HaShemayim, Ki Ha, the Rav Shimon Chalafta, as you see in the story involving Rav Shimon, Havikozu Beurcha, he was going on the road, Pogu Bo Hanoch Aryavosa, he met up with a couple of lions, the Havuka Nami Lape, that were roaring and threatening him, Lape in his face. Omar, so Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta said, Hakfirim Shoagim Latarev. The lions are roaring for meat. And what happened? Nechisule tarti atnasa, two lumps of meat came down from heaven. Chada achlua, one lump of meat they consumed, the lions consumed, v'chada shavkua, and the second one they left. I say v'osa lebe midrasha, he took the meat to the base medrash, boi halah, and he asked the following, Dover tome hu ze oi dover tohor, is this meat that came from Shemayim unacceptable? Is it tome, or is it tohor? Would it be acceptable, kosher? Amrulei, they answered, Ein dover tome yored min ha-shamayim. Nothing that's unacceptable comes from heaven. In other words, if it came from heaven, it's kosher. Boi mine Rabbi Zera me Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Zera inquired, Yardo loy demus chamor mahu. Let us say that the flesh that came down from Shemayim was in the form of a donkey being an unkosher animal. Would this be permissible to consume? Amar le, Rabbi Avo answered, Yarud nala, an expression, not a very complimentary expression. The Rashi says, Tanin shoite. The Tanim Rashi says is an oif sheshmo tanim v'hu shoite u'boichu. It's a bird that seems to make a lot of noise, and it's considered a foolish bird. That's how Rabbi Avo starts his answer, using this, as we said, an uncomplimentary title. It calls him Yorud Nala. Ho Amrile, you were already told, Ein Dover Tome Yorid Min HaShemayim, that nothing Tome comes from heaven. And the Rashi explains, first of all, the question you asked is does not happen. In other words, the Demus Chamor would not come down from Shemayim. And if it would, that wouldn't matter. It has to be Tahor, by virtue of the fact that it comes Min HaShemayim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.